Hey guys, Ed here. I know we got a few of you. Whoa, a bunch of you joining all at once. Good stuff. Good to have you here. Hey, while we're waiting for others, just curious, what's an app you really like and many people don't know about? So not like the common stuff, but something that you really rely on a lot that's maybe not as popular. And it helps you in some way. Just curious, just for fun, while we wait for everybody else to join. And let's see, who do we have? I saw Allison. Hey, Allison, welcome. Joe, good to see you here. Lee, welcome from Mexico. Erica, Patty. All right, and some random mix of numbers and letters I don't recognize. Sometimes Loom will do that. Zoom. Let's see, chat. Rev says, Joe, yeah, the transcription app. Love Rev. They do great work. I tell you, for me, there's a few that I really enjoy. I bank with Chase now, my business account, and I am absolutely in love with their, banking app. My previous bank had a horrible banking app that made it so difficult. I just never even used it. It was worthless. So I had to do everything through a browser, which just took longer. Chase has done an amazing job with their app. It makes things so easy. Like if I'm out of town, on vacation, I got to take care of some stuff. I can do it all through the app. In fact, sometimes it's just even easier to do it through the app than it is through their browser-based website or portal. So that says something. Another one that I like a lot, and this is more in my personal life, is Life 360. This is something that all of us at home have installed. And it just tracks us, which seems kind of big brother, but I just want to know, where is my teenage son? where has he been? You know, when is my wife coming home? Of course they track me too. It's funny, but that's been really useful. Just to see, you know, what's going on, especially if you can't get a hold of somebody at home. It's nice to see, well, at least where they are. So anyway, just a bit of a stalkish app. What about you guys? Don't be so quiet. Don't be shy. Hey, Liz, good to see you. Linda, welcome. Laura, welcome. All right. Let's go ahead and get going. I think we got, Liz says, I like my Fitness Pal. Yeah, that's a great app. Great app. They got the different versions of it, right? Text Expander. Yeah. I'm a big Text Expander user, for email, really. 10% happier. Laura, so is that, I haven't heard of that. Is that based on the book? Yeah, Text Expander is great. Yeah, okay, cool. Very nice. All right, guys. Hey, good to have you here. Let's get started with wins. I'd love to hear about anything you've experienced over the past couple of weeks that's given you some momentum, encouragement, motivation. A win could be anything, big or small. You define what a win is. Just type in the chat area. Do me a favor and type in a capital W. And just share a win from the last couple of weeks. So let's start there, and then we'll get moving. Erica says, I just had my best quarter of all time. Fantastic. Wow, Erica, that is great. Congratulations. Great to hear that. Laura says, LinkedIn is paying off 2 prospect inquiries. Hey, good to see that, Laura. I know this has been a new effort for you. Love it. Hannah says, invoiced my first $10,000 month. Holy cow, Hannah. Man, you are motivated, young lady. Love it. Liz says, had some great responses from reaching out to new folks. Good. I think, Liz, you're on the verge of some big things happening. So very, very happy to see that. And I'm glad you're focusing on the positive stuff. Erica says, you got Erica. Joe picked up a pair of client leads through my client network. Excellent, Joe. Nothing like tapping your network. It can be a little scary sometimes, but man, that's usually where some of the best stuff can happen. Erica Hess, hey, Erica, welcome. Earned $17,000 in March. Man, I love that. I'm with you, Liz. Let's see, who else? And Erica, glad you like the LinkedIn stuff. Yeah, awesome. All right. Good stuff, guys. So curious what everybody is working on right now. In terms of our work together, if you do me a favor and go to the chat area, type in capital P, you know that I like to think of our work in terms of projects. In the game plan, I assign you different projects, and they basically summarize the focus for you in that game plan. So just let me know what's your current focus right now in terms of our work together by typing a P in front of it, and just let me know. Liz said, working on a new lead magnet. Can't wait to get this crafted and implemented. Good stuff. Yeah. Definitely, Liz, and happy to, like I mentioned, to chat about that. It's one of those things where it really helps to have a little bit of outside feedback, and the tendency with lead magnets is to overcomplicate them. So let's definitely discuss that when you're ready. Laura says, aggressive prospecting, devoting time to it every day now. Good stuff. Allison is working on web copy. Yeah, man, you've come a long way there, Allison. Loved this last version. Linda saying, still getting my business bank account set up and using a time block calendar. So the business mindset lesson. Okay, good. So making progress there with your cash flow management. Hannah is focused on prospecting. Joe is completed the positioning worksheet, working on revising my website copy. Erica is refining her niche. Would love to chat about it in this call. Yeah, happy to do that. Lee is qualifying prospects. I want to have something for the win column by next call. Good. And by the way, Lee and everybody, when I say win, it doesn't necessarily mean landing a client, having your best quarter yet. I mean, win could be, hey, look, I'm making progress. I'm being disciplined. I'm creating a little bit more space for myself every week. I can actually breathe. I can actually think. All those things are win in my book. So sometimes it really helps. And the one, listen, I'm not trying to blow smoke here. This is not a rah-rah session. I just want everybody to get used to the fact that, you know, look, there's good in the world, there's good in your life and good in your business. Sometimes we don't pay enough attention. And what you focus on will grow and multiply. So sometimes even if you could just find the smallest thing to be grateful for and to just to rejoice in, that can be really a great step in the right direction. So the tendency for all of us is just to kind of focus on what's not going right. And I see this first 5 minutes of these calls as an opportunity for us to just spend a few minutes focusing on what is going well, even if it just means, look, I'm making progress, you know? So anyway, I'll get off the soapbox. Lee says, well, I'm almost done with my taxes. Hey, listen, look, you're going to be filing on time. That is a win right there. good. Erica Hess is using the weekly planner to get the big rocks done and free up some time. Good. Erica, I love the progress you're making there, because I know all those little things are little victories, right? They add up and they create a multiplier effect. Well, I'm happy to save taxes. I was done a month ago for the first time ever. Done a month ago in early March. And it feels great. All I got to do is send my estimated tax payment here this week. And, man, it feels great not to have to worry about that. All right, guys. So let's get to questions, discussions. Kelly had a win to share here. Hired a VA to take over some of the research assignments I was doing so I can concentrate more on marketing, et cetera. Oh, love it. Love it, Kelly. Hey, congratulations. That's a big step. And, hey, I'd love to get more feedback on that as you get going. Would love to know what you're learning. In fact, I know everyone in the group would love to hear more. So Sometimes we go into these things expecting certain things, and sometimes those things aren't the things that maybe you get a lot of benefit from, but there are other things that you weren't expecting that are big wins. So, you know, as you find those, if you wouldn't mind, in the Facebook group or one of the calls, I'd love to hear from you on that. Erica says, yeah, I love the to-done list. Oh, yeah, it's so true. You know, I am horrible about not focusing on the to-done until I started making it a practice. So that's why I had to force myself to look at the good stuff that I am getting done, because my tendency is just to focus on, oh, all this stuff is still left to do, right? Okay, so let's get to questions, discussions. Anytime during this call, if you in the chat area type at the capital Q and just give me an idea what you'd like to talk about, I'll bring you in, we can have a discussion. Now, once we have a discussion, all I ask is a few simple things. Keep your question focused and specific, right? The more specific you can get, the better I can help you, the better and more productive a discussion we can have. One question per person, I can come back to you. We'll have time to do a few rounds. If it involves a couple of options, just let me know so I don't kind of go all over the place and keep the discussion focused. I'm going to go ahead and get started with questions that were pre-submitted. Now, one quick reminder, guys, look, with the pre-submitted stuff, I don't want to police that. It doesn't really matter too much to me. But if you know you're going to be on the call, I'd prefer if you ask it live. I think it's more productive. Now, if you find that it helps you to just kind of write it down, then go for it. My initial idea with pre-submitted was more for, hey, I don't think I can be there, so let me go ahead and pre-submit this question. But it's completely up to you, okay? So I want to kind of keep it hands off. We got three questions that were pre-submitted, so let me go through those in the order and then I have them here. And the first one is from Liz. Let's see. And Liz, you know what? Are you here? I know you're here. Yeah, you are here. Okay, so hey, Liz, how are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
Doing well. All right, so I'm going to kind of read through this,
okay. And
then let's chat. Okay, I'm just looking at it for the first time. We had an anchor client who adjusted their marketing budget, and that meant a big reduction in your work with them. And am I assuming that they were on retainer?
Yeah.
Okay. And did that reduction already start?
Yes.
Okay. So you're saying that you're getting emails from the CEO asking me to do things, one-off things, which would have been fine under the previous agreement, but do not fall into the scope as we stand currently. These folks have become dear colleagues, so I don't want to seem like a jerk. You'd never seem like a jerk. the things she's asking me to do are relatively small, but I know I have to establish the boundary. I need to send an updated agreement. Just don't want it to come across the wrong way, and I'm thinking of listing examples of the marketing admin tasks. Those are the random tasks that she's sending, which I don't really want to do. The bigger issue is that I need to offboard these folks, but I'm not in a place in my business where I'm able to do that financially at the moment. On the other hand, I can feel my spirits dragging when I'm doing things for them. So my question is, number one, how can I capture these miscellaneous items in a new agreement? Number two, should I just offboard them now? Great question. Okay, so here's just to recap. What I'm hearing is they've reduced it. Long term, it sounds like you don't see these as a client. You don't see this as a client you want to keep in the long run, right?
Yeah, I think our time has come to an end.
Okay. But at the same time, you know, you got to be smart. You know, we all want to do things that, that maybe, you know, aren't the smartest thing to do, but we want, you know, we sometimes let emotion take over and we just said, screw it. Right. And,
right.
So you're trying to maintain that balance. So I hear you. Well, I see is you have two options. You can go ahead and offboard them now. Now it depends on how you would react to that. And by that, I mean, if you feel that you're the type of person who really performs when you're under the gun and when miracles really seem to happen when you're in those situations, then that certainly shifts things to that column, you know, to the column of, you know, let's just go ahead and cut the losses
right. And
move on, you know?
Right.
But if when you think about being in a situation like this, you get more anxious and your performance tends to suffer, because of the stress and anxiety, then I would say, hey, let's play this the safe way, you know, in transition instead of doing something rash.
Right.
So it's up to you. I will tell you, I'm more the latter. I can sometimes emotions will take over for me, and I almost always end up regretting it. So I love the fact that you've recognized that this is not a client that you're going to take with you long term. But at the same time, you know, you just have to think about, okay, where does that put you financially, and then what does your performance look like if you're in that situation? So I'll turn it over to you. Where do you think you fall?
I think I'm kind of 50-50, which is unfortunate because, you know, when the you know what hits the fan, I really can turn up the volume, so to speak. But I also can freak out to the point that I get really kind of stymied, if you will, or too anxious. So the other part of it is with, I think I said that in that I'm finding like this is, I'm spending more time than I should sort of festering about this. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering, that was one thing that made me think, oh, maybe it's just better to, you know, cut the cord and use my energy elsewhere.
So right now we're just looking at it from we're taking a binary approach, right? We're saying mm-hmm. it's either one way or the other. Let's look, is there a third option?
Right.
You know, is there an option that's really more short term that allows you to live with this for maybe 2 or 3 months?
Right.
Until you can move on.
Yeah. That's probably the way to go. And maybe even, well, communicate to them, say, hey, this, what is that? May, June, July, end of July. I'm going to need to wrap this up. Then that puts it, forces okay. me to have an end date. But,
let's look at the options. If we have, you know, one of them, let me bring this up. So option A would be to cut the cord. Option B would be to transition. And I guess under cut the cord is pretty straightforward. Under transition, you could, you know, maybe a temporary arrangement.
Right.
And another option could be to let them know. And, I mean, then you can start mixing flavors and mash them together. Like letting them know could be a combination of keeping things as is and just dealing with it, but then letting them know there's an end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then that gives you a little bit of finality and, you know, you can kind of move on.
Right.
Mentally and emotionally.
Right.
You know, but the other one, this one right here, I'm wondering if everything else being equal, this is maybe one of the better options if you're going to transition, maybe the better option. What if you can come up, okay, so right now, is that the biggest source of stress, the fact that the CEO keeps sending you little things here and there?
Their whole, so I used to be the person that like, oh, you write just like me. And then they brought in an expert to help them rebrand. And so now, yeah, everything is for a while, everything I wrote had to go through that expert. And it's just, So that's another point of stress is like, okay, I've been for the last 4 months trying to make that work and that just doesn't work anymore.
Okay. All right. So what if, but then, so that's a big one and there's not much you could do about that one.
Right.
Any others, any other sources of real stress here?
With them?
Yeah.
So one of the things they want me to keep doing is, producing their metrics for them, a quarterly report on the metrics, which that's just not my thing. And, right. I don't have a lot of joy in it, nor do I have a lot of confidence in it, and not that much control.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot here.
Right.
I wonder if, could you get rid of some of this? Okay. I think there's something. I'm going to talk about something you could do about this one. Okay. Is the metrics report something you could do away with?
Just say, hey, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've cut back your scope anyway, right?
Right.
Can you make him choose?
I guess. Yeah. I mean, well, so that I, silly me, I put out things because it had been retainer based. So then I gave them a list of project based, here's your articles, here's your newsletter, here's the metrics. And I thought I made the metrics so expensive they wouldn't want to do it, or, not worth them paying me, but they chose that. But I feel like I could still go back and say, hey, that's just not something I can do anymore. Sorry about that.
Okay. So, all right. So what if you created a temporary arrangement where you were willing to walk away if it just doesn't work out, but at least you're giving it a temporary chance until you can find a replacement?
Right.
Okay. And, there's not much you could do in terms of the branding consultant. Okay.
Right.
That's out of your control. But I wonder if there's something we could do about these two things that will make it, will make this doable for 3 months.
Right.
Okay. And the one-offs, so here's an idea that I've seen work really well in the past, and that is to create a line item in your retainer, whether you itemize it or not, doesn't matter, but that's for miscellaneous items.
Okay.
Marketing, coordination, proofreading, editing, review of item. Hey, can you take a quick look? I used to have a client. Hey, can you take a quick look at this before I send it out?
Right.
And, of course, the problem with that, first of all, it's disruptive to my schedule. And it's always like a last minute and I need it today.
Exactly. Yeah. Or
and
yesterday.
Yeah, you have enough history with them. You'd be able to, figure out, okay, what's the, what do I add? Let's just say it's, $400 a month or what, just to put a number in here.
Right.
And that takes care of this. And then you don't feel like, man, because let's face it, it's a drag when you get these. But if you know you're at least getting paid for it.
I'm fine. Right.
You're fine.
Yeah.
With the metrics report, you could choose, I
exactly.
Here's why. Here's
right.
why. Now, this one may be, you'll know better than I would. This one might be a little tricky, but you know better in terms of how much you could push.
Right.
Or how you present it, how you present the, maybe there's an element of this you can still provide, but not, the part that you hate. I don't know.
Well,
but essentially,
true.
This is, you're trying to create something you can live with for 90 days.
Right.
Because 90 days is a long time when you're just hating it.
Right. And maybe with the metrics report, because it had been monthly, and then we said, okay, we're going to move it to quarterly. So that's better.
Okay.
Maybe it's an opportunity where I can just make it really small or, because we're changing what it actually is. So this is the perfect time to shrink it.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, for the one-offs, one way to present it, or there's some, you know, pushback or whatever, think about an accountant or an attorney, any service-based professional. Many of them will bake that into their agreements or their retainers with clients. They know they're going to have phone calls and conversations, right, and all that sort of thing, right? Not so much attorneys, because they're notorious for billing in 15-minute increments no matter what, but they know that it's that there's going to be stuff. A lot of service-based professionals, they just know there's going to be conversations, so they bake that in. The argument here is that these requests haven't been baked in to your proposal. You're happy to do them,
right?
But you know, you're gonna, you know, create this line item or this option where, and then they're gonna feel better too about doing it. It sounds like they don't really have a problem giving them to you, but then they know, okay, right, you're gonna do them, you're gonna do them well.
Yeah, that's good. And because previously, you know, because it was a retainer, those things just did get lumped in. And so this is like, okay, we're entering a new era and I just need to explain. And maybe that's, you know, say sort of the new era approach.
Yeah, not that you're going to use this language, but they've gone from platinum level to like silver.
Right.
And yeah, that's fine. But in silver, you know, I don't just automatically do these things for free.
Right. Okay.
I mean, there's a better way of communicating that, but you know what I mean.
No, yeah. You're now in the
bargain. I think if you do this,
yeah,
it gives you, I mean, this allows you to create a temporary transition, and of course gives you still the motivation to, look, I got 90 days.
Right.
That's plenty of time, you know, to find something, but I'm on my terms.
Right. Okay.
And by the way, I know you know this already, but this is for everybody. This is why it's so important to have the cash flow management piece in place, because over time, not the day you implement it, but over time, it gives you the buffers to be able to make these kind of decisions without like sweating it like crazy. I mean, you're still going to be nervous, right? But that's one less thing you have to worry about.
Yeah. So would you recommend sort of, is this 90 days is more in my mind? I don't necessarily say it to them.
Yes. Yeah. Good point. I agree. I think this should be an internal thing. The moment you give them, hey, this is it, an ultimate, like, it just goes downhill from there.
Right.
In many cases, right?
Yeah. And they might then say, oh, never mind. You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
This way, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say it this way, but you kind of want to use them.
Right.
You know?
No, it's okay. Not use and abuse, just, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they would do the same thing.
Right. Okay, this is, I thank you. I feel like 100% better.
Yeah, I think this right here is going to be the key for you is the, this is, whatever you do, definitely make this part of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you, Ed.
You're welcome. Good stuff. All right. So let's see. I got one from Laura and then from one from Linda. And then I see that Eric also has one here live on the call. Laura says, I'm putting together a proposal for a cybersecurity software prospect who told me she had budgeted $1,000 per month for content help, and right now she wants pillar posts and cluster blog posts. She has the topics already planned out, so it would just be execution. I don't want to only be doing blog posts, but I think there might be an opportunity to do case studies and e-guides later since they use them, although the budget would need to increase, obviously. I'm planning to pitch three different options. The first, and hold on, Laura, let me bring you in too so we could, I forgot that you were here. Hey, Laura, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing well, doing well. All right. So the three options, you're thinking through a quarterly schedule of one pillar post, 1,500 words, and six blog posts, 750 words on related topics, invoice monthly at 1,000. Quarterly schedule of eight blog posts, invoice monthly at 1,000. And these are 750 words. Or monthly schedule of two blog posts at 800 monthly. Thoughts, ideas, or am I falling in the trap of another blog post only client? All right. Yeah, which is in your case, you're trying to like transition out of just blog post only clients, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So what makes you believe that there's an opportunity here to do case studies and e-guides in the future, other than the fact that they use them? I mean, was there a conversation around that? Do you know how they do those now?
So it's basically just I saw that they use a lot of them. So I was thinking, oh, if she needs help, you know, with this, then maybe she would need help with, you know, that too in the future. But it's just, I mean, I threw it out there on the call. I was like, I said, you know, I'd like to start with the pilot project, and it sounds like, you know, a package of a pillar post and blog post would be a great place to start because that's what she had mentioned. And then I said, you know, maybe later on we can look into doing some e-guides and case studies to help, you know, nurture your prospects through the funnel. In combination with these posts, da 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 da. But I'm just like guessing that there's an interest in that.
What was her reaction to that? You know, what was your gut feel about how she felt about it?
Yeah, so she was like, yeah. So she seemed positive, but again, like the $1,000 a month budget for content, I was like, ugh. But maybe that's just because they hadn't thought about, you know, getting help with case studies and white papers. Like, who knows? So, I mean, I could just be being overly optimistic. but at the same time, I don't want to say, well, if you only want blog posts now, then I'm not going to think about it. But maybe I need to do that because I keep falling into this, you know, over and over and over again. And this was a LinkedIn prospect. So she just looked at my page, looked at my profile, and came and messaged me with, you know, hey, I just looked at your profile and I see that, da, 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 da. I really like this, that, and the other thing. I need help with pillar posts and blog posts. So I was like, I don't know. I really
Yeah. Well, I mean, so when I first read it, I thought that all these amounts that you were, let me bring this up. Let me see if I can do. Let me look at this. See if I can bring it up on the screen. Firefox. Okay. So let me blow this up. At first, I thought these were monthly, and then I realized, wait a minute, these are quarterly, right? So, I mean, I think this still, even then, a little bit on the low side because it's $3,000 a quarter.
Right.
It's not horrible, certainly, but I think your biggest concern, what I'm hearing, is that it's really more of a, you know, is this going to be yet another client who's going to take up some of my capacity?
Yep.
And then, right now, I don't have capacity to find someone who needs more white papers, case studies, more lucrative work. I think that's a really good way of looking at it. Fortunately, it looks like they do other things, but I'm just concerned. Now, keep in mind, too, it's early in the relationship, right? So there's still no real trust. It's a cold prospect. You don't know where this could go. This really boils down to how do you feel based on what you're hearing and seeing about the viability, the longer-term viability and opportunity of this prospect? Because I wouldn't look so much at the – you know, the profitability of this project is I would at really the back end, meaning all the additional opportunities. And also, you know, does this get me a client? You know, when I look at them, if I had this client, you know, does this get me something else beyond that? So does it get me into a sector that I haven't really done much with? You know, anything along those lines? Is there an opportunity to do more of the things with them, which we've talked about, you know, so what is your feel when it comes to those factors?
So, I mean, so they are pretty small. they are small, which tells me that they probably don't have a huge budget hiding somewhere.
Yeah.
So there's that to take into account. It's cloud security, which I've done a lot of work in already, so I don't need clips in that area. However, since I have done a lot, I know a lot about it, so it won't be hard to, you know, get the research.
Here's the last factor to consider from, from a cash flow and income perspective. You know, I think that's certainly one, you know, to consider, but that's a short-term factor.
Right. I think that's what's really in my mind right now, because I've had a couple of clients. My biggest client has sort of gone AWOL. They're the ones that are completely disorganized.
Okay.
And so she's not responding, and I'm like, hello. She also hasn't paid the last two invoices, which I'm really concerned about, and they're huge. So I'm like, I don't even want to like think about them right now. But that has left a lot of big holes in my project calendar. So I'm like, oh, here's an opportunity to fill it. But I don't want to fall into that trap, because, you know, then I won't be able to devote the time to finding better people.
That leads to another factor to consider. If you brought them on, what does your capacity look like at that point?
Yeah. I mean, this is not a ton of work, so I would still have time. It would just be more crunched, than it would be otherwise.
If the right opportunity came along, if you took these guys on and the right opportunity came along in 2 weeks, you'd make it work, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And what do you think about this? Instead of planning on an ongoing thing, how about if I just pitch them a package that's payable over 3 months?
Yeah, I like that too, because one thing that I was going to mention is you want to kind of de-emphasize the units or the itemized nature of this.
Yeah.
And just keep the focus, work with their budget, but get them thinking a little bit differently and get them thinking about the value they're getting for that $1,000.
Right.
And if you package it, that will help you with that.
Okay.
If you think about one extreme would be to, not that you would do this, quote a per word fee.
Right.
That is the last thing you want. You want to move, let's say that's on the far right of the spectrum. You want to move way more toward the left, where it's not even per blog post or per type of post, or even focus on the monthly, and instead just kind of create a bundle. And say, in this bundle, I can give it to you for your budget.
Right. Okay. So just to make sure I'm understanding that right, what would that look like?
Well, so you could, you know, put one of these, whether it's option one, two, or three, put it together. I know you said that all she wants is execution. Is there an opportunity to provide a little bit of planning help here or project management?
So she's already got her editorial calendar. She sent me her editorial calendar. So
okay.
She's already done that. And again, since they've only got $1,000 a month, that really doesn't even leave any room for me to do a whole lot else.
Yeah. No, but so, look for something that's easy that wouldn't take up a lot of your time.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So I know you, okay. She's already got it planned out. Okay. Can you help her just kind of review that? And then maybe, does she have it planned out for the rest of the year?
I think she did, if I remember right, but I could be wrong. It might just be 6 months.
Okay. So one option would be, let's just say she's got it for 6 months. It could be like maybe a monthly review. You know, maybe a monthly review, because you plan stuff out, but if you do it right, you should be reviewing the performance in making adjustments along the way. The whole idea of a plan is not to stick to it. The whole idea is just to have something to guide you.
Right. Okay.
I don't know. Easy things you can add that are more consultative.
Yeah.
And value add that won't take a lot of your time. You're bringing your expertise to the table. And then that de-emphasizes the per word or per post thing, and you're instead offering a package that includes your expertise and advice and help.
Yeah,
guidance
I love that.
As needed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay.
You know, awesome. So what I'm hearing is that, you know, maybe this is something to look at. You're still going to try to find a better client, but this kind of hedges your bets a bit.
Right.
And you're going to present it in a way that emphasizes the value and not the unit pricing, each item.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Okay. You feel you got some good stuff to think through and to present to her?
Yeah, this is great. That way it won't lock me into anything long term, so I can just, you know, as you told Liz, you know, get some money when you need
yeah.
it and free yourself up. But then also positioning it in a way, not only where this package looks more valuable, but she also realizes, like, hello, I can do more than crank out blog posts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, where unfortunately she's kind of squeezed out a lot of options
yeah.
because all she wants is the execution. But, you know, just FYI for everyone here on the call, always think beyond just the execution and think in terms of also, you know, where can you help with planning? Where can you help with strategy? In other words, where can you help to make their lives easier? And then what you're delivering more effective. Anything you can do around that you can offer and highlight, will everything else being equal, make you way more attractive and put the emphasis on the value and not so much on your fee.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah, I think there's some good opportunity here. I think you got to play it, you know, play your cards right. I don't think this is a, no, I'll pass on it. You know, you got to do the right thing for you today.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Good luck. Let us know how it goes. I'd love to hear the result. All right, the last one that was pre-submitted, and then I'll get to Erica from Linda. So I'm putting the lessons about thinking like a business person into action. I figured out a way to make the time block worksheet work for me with a few tweaks, and so far, so good. I've been blocking off hours for client projects, writing interview questions, et cetera, in my Google Calendar, and I love it. However, I've tried and failed at this method in the past because I feel like I'm not freaking out and running in circles to get it all done. I'm doing something wrong. Maybe I thrive on chaos or something, but I'd like to stick to the plan this time. I'm wondering if anyone else has had the same issue, and if so, how they managed to resist the impulse to multitask, jump from one task to the next, et cetera. Ooh, okay, good stuff. Well, Paul just chimed in. He said, yeah, I do massively. Yeah, so you're not alone, Linda. I see a lot of this. Let me bring you in. I think you're on. Hey, Linda, how are
Hi.
You?
Hi, great. How are you?
Doing well. So what I'm hearing is, hey, you're willing to give this a shot. You definitely see how this can help you. But in the past, you just felt like if you're not freaking out and stressed, something's wrong.
Exactly. I always, you know, I actually literally have ADD, which I think a lot of writers do. And I feel like if I am not, or I'm always doing the wrong thing, you know, I blocked off this hour for client work. I've looked at my calendar. I have this time. This is what's important. But then there's all these other things. Maybe I should do those instead, you know, and it's hard to keep in that mindset because my natural state is a little more kind of, you know, shiny object. So mm-hmm. I think, I don't know if, well, I see a couple people here do have that problem. They mentioned
yeah, so
it.
If anyone wants to chime in the chat area, definitely let us know. You're not alone. And listen, it's interesting you ask. I'm just coming out of a period mm-hmm. where, of insanity and finally creating some space for myself. And it was planned. And it so far it's working out. And my tendency is, because I've been running 100 miles an hour for so long, is to ask myself, okay, what's wrong? Yeah. What am I forgetting? What am I missing? I shouldn't have this time. What did I leave off my to-do list or my schedule or whatever? So I think it's a natural thing if you've come from that environment. I guess one way I like to think of it is to kind of stretch it, exaggerate the situation. Let's just say that you kept that pace up for the next 10 years. I mean, and now it's 10 years from now and you're looking, like, where are you, you know, in your life? Well, what's your health like? What's your level of happiness and joy in your work? And like asking yourself those questions, I like to really stretch it out and fast forward, because I think the tendency is we look at a day-to-day situation. It's like, oh, well, it's not going to hurt, or, you know, this is okay. It's just what it is. I got to get these things done. And you're right. In the short term, it may not have a big impact, but then when you just amplify it over the course of 5 or 10 years, what is the cumulative effect of working at that pace? So I'll turn it to you. I mean, when you hear me ask you that, like, what comes to mind?
Right. And it's interesting because I have been working that way for 20 years and I am seeing the cumulative effect. So stretching that out 10 more years is a little bit scary.
Yeah,
that's a really good point.
Sometimes I know for me as a parent, and I know you're a mom, one way that it's made it real is, can I live with the fact that my kids are now out of the house and I didn't spend that time with them, you know? Like, sure, I did, you know, the little trip here and there, vacation here and there, but I was mostly working. And their image of their dad is that he was always in the office. You know what I'm saying? Like, that to me brings it to an emotional level that honestly right now, just talking about it makes me, like, want to break down. You know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it'll be the same thing, but just try that. You know, if you're not really getting the answers you want, use your kids, put your kids in the picture and see if that puts it in a different level.
Right. But let me ask then, if anybody here or you are consistently doing this time block thing, how do you feel assured that you aren't missing something? Because you said, you know, sometimes you have that feeling like, okay, I know there's something I need to be getting done and it's not happening and you're looking around for it and it freaks you out. And I think that's the problem. And I don't know if, you know, if there's a way to feel like, no, it's all in the calendar. I got it all.
Yeah. So guys, so what do you, let me know and let us know in the chat area. That's a really good question.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'll tell you how I deal with it. So I have, it's a combination of big picture, like the time blocks and the ideal week type work, which is bigger picture, right? I'm mapping out my week. I'm designing my week, architecting my week, and the real tactical project management stuff, which I use my capacity planner for. I don't know if you've gotten to that yet. I forget if it's on your game plan, but the you know, my capacity planner, which is in an Excel spreadsheet.
Right. Yeah.
Are you familiar with it?
Yes.
Do you know what I'm referring to?
Yes.
Okay. So that, in a way, reduces my anxiety because I am very diligent about keeping up with it. And on a daily basis, I'm tweaking it and moving things around to make sure that every project is accounted for and broken down in there and then spread out over the days. Okay? Mm-hmm. So if I have that, okay, if I have kind of my goals, vision and all that mapped out. And then on a weekly basis, well, from there I work on 90-day increments, but then on a weekly basis, I'm designing the week that I want. And then I'm also using my capacity planner. And then I'm then day to day scheduling my day. You know, from 9 to 10, I'm going to do this. From 10 to 12, I'm going to do this.
Mm.
Then I don't feel that anxiety. I feel that anxiety when I'm working, out of post-it notes or out of just a to-do list, which is all fires.
Right. Yeah. The fires are the thing too, that you're afraid you're missing when you're doing all this, the more heavy work, the stuff that has value, you're missing out on those emergencies. And that's a little bit scary.
It is.
Yeah. But yeah, sorry, I know this isn't a very specific question, but I am in the mindset lessons right now. So
No, that's good. It's a process, Linda. You can't expect to come out of, you know, that kind of pace and straight into a slower pace, like, you know, from one day to the next.
Right, of course. And then Erica had a good suggestion of building buffer zones, which is awesome. That makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. And not only buffer zones during the day, like I try to overestimate things. That takes work for me because my just optimist nature is to, no, I can get that done in an hour.
Uh-huh.
You know? No, mm-hmm. If I've had a bad track record when it comes to that, you know what? I'm going to put 2 hours. And it pains me to block out 2 hours for it. But I would say that more than half the time, it took me way longer than an hour.
Wow.
I thank myself, you know. And I would say the other thing is to have those buffer days. So not just buffer time built into each task, but then those buffer days.
Right. I'm trying to work those in a little bit more.
Yeah. And you don't have to start with a full day, right? So you could do half a day, a few hours, whatever. Just start with something.
Mm-hmm.
Because it allows me to then keep my production days really, really focused. And I know that, okay, I don't have to worry about this right now. This is a buffer day item.
Right. Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, and there's some good stuff here, some great feedback.
Yeah, okay. I'll read through this.
So you're not alone.
Yeah.
We're all just screwed up and, you know, in our own beautiful way.
Exactly. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, too.
You bet. Yeah, thanks, everyone, for chiming in there. Good stuff. All right. So I'm going to go back to, I know Erica had something here. Let's see. Erica, she says, in our last call, we narrowed down my niche to nutrition and palliative care. I've been processing this over 2 weeks and it feels good, but not 100% right. I love interviewing people and telling stories. I'm good at it. For example, I specialize in case studies and success stories across different sectors. Is that a reasonable niche, or would I still be stretching myself thin in terms of positioning and marketing? Yeah, good stuff. All right, so let me bring you in, Miss Erica. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. You know, I got to tell you this. Like, I love, on the Facebook group, I just love your enthusiasm and your cheery nature.
Thank you.
I bet you're like that in person too, aren't you?
I think I might be.
I love people.
Yeah. I feel like I'm kind of an extrovert in an introvert's job right now.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, all right. So nutrition and palliative care, but it doesn't feel 100% right. So let's just take it one step at a time. What part of that, forget about what kind of work, but in terms of the topics or the areas, what part of that doesn't feel 100% right yet?
I think it is that it can be both fields can be pretty technical. So, you know, the medical and scientific side of nutrition and palliative care, which I would not consider myself to be an expert in, as well as the policy side. So I guess for me, there's a bunch of different areas within these sectors. I think that I'm strong on the human side and the human, you know, the stories and who's affected by these different programs and that sort of thing. But I don't think I would have the confidence to say I'm an expert in nutrition or I am an expert in palliative care.
So there's policy, nutrition, stories. So that's kind of the human side.
Mm-hmm. And like sort of the science behind it or the research.
Okay. And then what was, there was a fourth one you mentioned, I think. the research was under stories.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, sorry. The research was a separate, the research and science, like the underpinnings, okay. I guess.
And then the ones that that you feel you're strong in are the stories?
I think so. Like anytime we start talking about policy. There's some part of my brain that just doesn't get it. So,
let's take the other extreme. Which ones do you absolutely just don't want to do?
Definitely, not policy for sure. And I don't think that I have the educational background to do the research and science, like to write about it in a way that people would think was written by somebody who knew what they were talking about.
Okay, but I mean, I wouldn't discount that too easily. There's different flavors of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it needed to be really intensive, like coming out of a university, maybe not. But
right.
If you're speaking to an audience where they don't want that kind of academic approach, you know, is that something right. that might work?
Yeah, and actually, there's somebody that I work with at my palliative care client right now. She was saying how she appreciates that I bring a non-academic tone and, you know, sort of translate the incomprehensible and make it comprehensible.
Perfect. Okay. So I'm going to give that a yellow, right?
Okay.
If we're talking a green, yellow, red.
Sure.
That's a yellow. And how do you feel about nutrition?
I enjoy nutrition. I'm not sure that it belongs in the square though so much, because I think nutrition and palliative care are the two big sectors that I was kind of considering as my niche.
Okay. So let's for the sake of what we're doing here, let's just kind of keep it here.
Okay.
What I'm hearing is, you know, the only one that's definitely an out is the policy stuff.
Yes.
What if you just kept it as nutrition, palliative care, and then talked about the emphasis, kind of the area where you really shine,
mm-hmm.
or the areas, you know, and just really talked about, well, especially, well, not really nutrition, because what we just talked about, that's kind of its own, that's kind of the big umbrella category.
Yeah.
One of them. And you really emphasize this, you know, then you're giving it direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I did something similar, and I've seen several people do this, like in other industries or target markets. I said, so look, it's enterprise software, but my real strength there is in construction software and solutions,
mm-hmm.
data management and supply chain management, you know, because there's all kinds of different sectors and categories of that. So
mm-hmm.
I use the, you know, the umbrella and just gave it a name, right? So this is the umbrella and this is enterprise software.
Mm-hmm.
And then I talked about the different, you know, flavors, you know, flavor and falls under that. Now I just went ahead and specified them. And then I talked about four different ones, but this can be really effective because you're still really emphasizing that umbrella and just driving that stake in the ground, but then giving a little bit more color to it.
Right.
Yeah. And how does that feel? Does that help?
I think it makes a lot of sense. Especially, you know, I think we talked about last time, you know, the aging population and how there's so much work going on in palliative care and that sort of thing. And I know, I think I'm still a little black and white, and I feel like if I choose nutrition and palliative care, I feel like I'm locked in, but I know that you've reminded me that that's not the case. But I wonder, what if the umbrella was telling human stories? Like, do you think that's too wide a net to cast?
I think it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always a way to spin things and, you know, completely differently,
mm-hmm.
Right? That's the creative side of doing this.
Right.
And maybe you can come up with a way. I just feel like the umbrella needs to be more specific.
Yeah.
In order to grab somebody's attention. When you think about the umbrella piece, that you got to get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have to say, that's me. Tell me more.
Yeah.
And the question is, are they thinking about it in terms of the stories, you know, or are they thinking about it in terms of, you know, kind of where they fall and what they do?
Right. And it would be more compelling to have a nutrition palliative care umbrella rather than, well, I tell stories, because that's anybody could say that and it's not super specific.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. So I think I would say, you know, you could do it a couple different ways. You could focus on the stories and just emphasize that under the umbrella. But I would, you know, you might even want to add a little bit of this. And yeah. Don't be afraid to just tell them what flavor of that you're referring to.
Right. Well, I just wrote down, too, that, you know, I could specialize in telling human stories and translating research and science from academic to plain language or to engaging language, which is more interesting than plain.
Perfect. So from academic to plain language,
mm-hmm.
That's exactly. And I did something similar. So I'm not a technical person, but mm-hmm. all my clients are software companies. What I said was, look, if you're trying to talk to the engineers,
right,
the VP, the VP of IT, the people who really want to look under the hood and ask you a million detailed questions, that's not me.
Right.
But if you're trying to talk to an executive about the value of implementing this idea or technology, I can speak to that audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
So you're the translator here, mm-hmm. And then you inject that, you know, you bring that human element to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Erica, at the end of the day, too, keep this in mind. I think it's better for you to start. I urge you to start with something along these lines,
mm-hmm.
put it out there, and then just get moving.
Yeah.
You know, the refinement of this will come once you put it out there. You know, it's not going to happen in the lab. You got to get it out in the real world, right? And then the market will show you the way. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah. And I know I get perfectionist on this. You know, I get stuck on an idea. I'm like, no, it has to be perfect before it goes live. But it doesn't. It just has to go live and it has to be like good, but it doesn't have to be perfect.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, done is better than perfect. I mean, done, but done well.
Yeah.
So just get it out there. I would think through this, and then just at some point, give yourself a deadline and just put it out there.
Yeah.
And then trust me, you will refine this. Here's what I've seen. I've seen people spend months on this, and the moment they put it out there, within a week, they were refining it. It's like it's not a function of how much time you tweak it in the lab,
mm-hmm.
Whether you tweak for 6 months or you tweak for 6 days, the amount of refinement that happens afterward is the same.
Right.
So in that case, it's better to just put it out there because you're going to get results sooner.
Yeah, totally. That makes sense. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Cool.
All right.
Oh, you're welcome.
And speaking of umbrellas, that's really apt because it just snowed here near Ontario, and now it is raining. So.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
The umbrella is good. I figured it would apply. it's spring here. Although for Paul up in northern Sweden, I think they're still seeing some serious winter weather. But
good. I hope so.
Cool. Yeah, let me know as you go through this, you know, happy to take a look at, you know, value statements, web copy, awesome. Or whatever, okay?
That's great. Thank you so much, Ed.
You're welcome. Okay, good stuff. Hey, real quick, while I go through, let me go back to these slides. While I go through questions, hey, I'm going to check the chat area. Just real quick, if you could let me know in the chat area, just type in a capital V, what's been most helpful so far, whether something you and I talked about or something from another discussion. We've had some deep stuff today. We'd just love to know what's been useful so far in today's call. All right. I got a question here from Janelle. Okay, Janelle, cool. I'll come to you here in a minute. See, Joe says so far, most valuable, the time management conversation. Good. Yeah, that's always an important one. One of the things I found interesting when I went out on my own is nobody was giving me the work to process on a daily basis anymore. Now it was all up to me. That's a really good thing and a really bad thing. Erica C says, refining my positioning in the time management combo. Okay, good. Liz, getting on track with a 90-day plan to offboard and also the addition of miscellaneous tasks to my invoice for the client. Good. Laura, your answer to my question plus a reminder to schedule buffer time. Yeah, so important. Kelly, managing time. She says, yeah. Allison, the reminder that positioning and web copy just has to be done and then tweak later. Absolutely. Yeah, you're in that spot where I think you're ready for prime time, Allison. So yeah, good stuff. And believe me, you will tweak it. And you'll have a conversation with a client or a prospect and they'll say, you know what I really like about you, this, that, and the other. And then you go, oh man, that's brilliant. And that's a refinement you needed in your web copy, you know? Erica Hess says, a valuable idea about how to transition a client I might decide to drop. Yeah, good. Allison, I'm procrastinating about website design right now. so that's a whole different level of procrastination right there, Allison. But again, just keeping in mind, look, done is better than perfect, right? So I hear you. That can be a difficult level of procrastination for sure. Okay. Aiming to be live by end of next week. Oh, by end of week. Well, that's awesome. Okay. So Janelle had a question here. I had a call today with a prospect that was a referral from an existing client. I tried out the Wishbone screening process, a great resource, by the way, and the prospect seems to have a specific need, but there were some areas that gave me pause, like the fact that she hasn't worked with an outside writer or editor before. She didn't have a specific project in mind to get started with. In answer to the budget question, she wanted to know my rates. Am I wrong to think these are red flags? Ooh, good question. Let's talk. I think you're on. Yeah, you are. Janelle, how are you? Hello, hello. I don't know if you're connected. You may not have your mic on. All right, well, let me just address it, and if you come in, I'll just leave you unmuted. Great question. I wouldn't say – so here's the thing. When you're qualifying a prospect, these checkpoints are really meant to give you some data points. There are no hard or fast rules for yes or no. You know, I kind of like to think of it in terms of green light, yellow light, red light, like we did a minute ago, and just – or check, check plus, check minus. I'm just trying to get a sense for, okay – there are a lot of check minuses here or combination of check minuses and checks, but very few check pluses. And then just trusting my gut. Sometimes you just know in your gut, but you're trying to find a more objective way of coming up with the answer. And it can be a good gut check to go through this. Without knowing the rest of the conversation and how it went, it's hard to say, but I wouldn't automatically discount them as a bad prospect, and here's why. They seem to have a specific need. Okay, so that's good. But the fact that she hasn't worked with an outside writer or editor before doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Somebody like that. See, here's the thing. A lot of these things are related. So just because there was one thing that was maybe a check or check minus, it's very common that then the next two or three are going to be check and check minuses. For instance, if they haven't worked with an outside writer or editor before, I don't know whether they're doing it internally or if they're small and unsophisticated, automatically that's going to mean that they're not going to know anything about a budget, and they're not going to have something very specific in mind in terms of a project. So I kind of see those as they're kind of grouped. They go together. It's very common. So really I'm looking more at, in those cases, what is the nature of their problem, and do I feel I can help them based on what they're doing about it right now and what their expectations are. So maybe in the right order would be, okay, what's their challenge? why is that happening? What do they expect? You know, what end result are they expecting? That's kind of, with an unsophisticated prospect like that, that's kind of what I'm driving at. Because I'll give you an example. I had a client who they didn't really have same thing. Like, oh, I don't know. I know we have this need. We need more leads, but we don't really have a budget. I don't know. What do you propose? What do you charge? And what should we do? I don't even know what we need. But they checked out. I mean, like, they wanted to solve the problem and they believed in me and they really wanted to work with me, based on the conversations that we had. Later on, and it was a little bit too late, I realized that their expectations were way out of whack. So they had, we talked about doing some direct mail, and the problem was they didn't really have much of a budget, number one. So we had to keep it like ultra cheap. But here's where the killer was. They didn't have anyone to follow up. So they wanted to, if they're going to invest money in direct mail, they wanted the direct mail campaigns to do all the work. Now, this is a business-to-business company. It's a technology IT services company. And it just doesn't work that way. It's not transactional in that people can just order the service as a result of receiving the direct mail piece. Okay, so they would have to download something, and I forget exactly what we did. This is a while back, but it's a start. All we were trying to do was find out which of these prospects were interested in starting a conversation. And then from there, then you need to start the conversation and then take some of those conversations to a deal. And they didn't have the resources. They didn't really understand that they needed to do that. So looking back, I made the mistake of, well, they didn't have these things. They're unsophisticated, but I didn't really dig deep enough into their expectations to recognize that they were just not a good client, and until it was too late. So look more at their expectations, the nature of the challenge, and then make a decision based on that. There might be an opportunity. I mean, you might be able to help them. It depends on. Oh, so Danielle says suddenly can't hear. Okay. Anyway, well, Janelle, I hope, can you let me know if you're back, if you can hear me, and if I don't hear back, I'm assuming that you still can't hear. In which case, I'll just let you know when we talked about this so you can catch the replay. Okay, so you hopped back on, heard the second half of your answer. Okay, so bottom line is you just don't know based on that alone. Those things come in groups, and you're just going to have to find out a little bit more about their expectations, and then take it from there. Okay, cool. Yeah, just let me know, Janelle. And sorry about that. I don't know what happened. All right. Questions? Anything you'd like to talk through? We've got time for a couple more. If anyone has anything they'd like to discuss, anything is fair game, guys. I don't see any other questions. Let me just scroll a bit and make sure I didn't miss anybody. Linda wanted to see if she could download this chat pile. You know what? I think so. Let me check with my team. And even if I know that Zoom saves it, so I will. If anything, I can make it available somehow, either in the group or just post it somewhere. Yeah, some discussions here about deep work, Cal Newport. Yeah, there's some great conversation, guys. I love it. Some of the good stuff, the best stuff typically happens here in the chat area. All right. I don't see any other questions. So let's do this. Let's wrap up. And what I'd love to know is what was one of your big takeaways today? Just let me know in the chat area, typing in T for takeaway. And these calls are called momentum calls for a reason. I want to make sure that you're not just kind of sitting back and listening, that you come out of this with something actionable. So what is a top action item from our discussion today, whether it's something we discussed or maybe it reminded you of something that you really need to work on, or you already know what it is? I just want to make sure that it's clear. Let me know, T for takeaway, A for action item. Laura says top action item or takeaway rather is always include value added items on proposals. That also shows what I can bring to the table. Absolutely. Tell you that's what makes a difference many times, Laura, and everybody is just showing everything you bring to the table. I had a guy here where we need to get the exterior of our house painted. And I had three different companies come by and give me an estimate. And I tell you, the one we went with was the one I just knew from the start we were going to do it. So he's done work in this neighborhood. He knows the houses really well. He has a very good friend in the neighborhood as well. He just knows what the challenges are and how to get around them. That to me was worth something, even if he was a little bit more than the others, because he highlighted the value. He highlighted what he does bring to the table. In that way, it didn't just become a number for me. So he was really smart. Because when it comes to those things, just like with blog writing and a lot of the work many of us do, it boils down to that bottom line. If you can present yourself as being different and bringing some additional or highlighting the value that you bring, sometimes it's additional value. Sometimes it's really no different from everybody else, but you're really highlighting that value. You can increase the chances that it's not just a number. And then the client will make a decision based on a bigger set of factors. Okay, so good stuff. Let's see. Yeah.
Oh, hi, it's Janiel.
Hey.
I called in with my phone instead.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Great. Is it too late to give you some additional details?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So what happened with this client is she is the CEO of a nonprofit. And she was explaining that her issue is that she finds herself editing a lot of like the grant proposals that her development staff writes. The development team is like the people who do fundraising. And she is looking for someone to help edit for not just like, you know, the usual sort of like grammatical errors and other issues, but also tone. To make sure that they're not just like speaking in their usual bubble with all the jargon, but like translating it for, a more broad audience, which is sort of what I do. As I was saying, there were just like some areas that gave me pause. One of them too is that she has a communications team who she, and a writer in house who writes some of the materials. So I'm not 100% sure like what the sort of the workflow would be like between, you know, an outside person editing their work. From my experience working at a nonprofit, that's a little bit weird. But again, she's still sort of figuring this out. And then just the fact that she didn't have a specific budget and was looking to me for guidance. But I am primarily a writer. I haven't done a lot of editing work. And when I have done it in the past, like just once or twice, I've charged hourly. But I'm, you know, trying to take your advice to not do that. So in addition to just trying to figure out whether this is a good prospect, like in the past, I would have just jumped at this and, you know, figured it out as I went along. But I'm trying to be a little bit more intentional. In addition to just trying to figure out whether or not it makes sense, I'm also just wondering if you have advice on sort of how to price editing work. I don't know if you've done that in the past. but how to think about just like creating a quote for that, knowing that she's like still trying to put together specific projects and is looking to me to sort of set that expectation. Gotcha.
All right. So yes, that definitely helps. Let's talk about editing first. So the first thing to understand about editing is that you typically don't earn as much from editing as you do from writing or copywriting.
Right.
Editing tends to be more commoditized, and a lot of clients place lower value on that. So you need to understand when I hear editing, I need to understand from the client, I need to ask questions about, okay, why is that important? You know, why, mm-hmm. why is getting it right so important? I need them to talk through that. I need them to verbalize it, because until they do, it's kind of an internal thing and they haven't really communicated it to themselves in that manner.
Right.
So that needs to come out. Okay. And then sometimes I'll even ask probing questions. Okay. So why is that important then?
Mm-hmm.
And what will happen if you do it right, and not in every situation, but in many cases, they'll start seeing and you'll start seeing the real value of putting solid work out there.
Right.
Right. You know, so that needs to come out. The second thing is you don't want to price this by the hour,
mm-hmm.
For sure. You could do one or two things. One is you could get a sample, whatever proposal, let's just say, and just make sure, okay, is this representative of what you would want me to do in terms of proposal? And
okay.
The answer is absolutely. Then you have something you can measure, and then you could provide a fixed fee for that editing that a proposal. Okay, so that's
okay,
one way.
That makes sense.
That's better than hourly. It's still not my favorite, but it's a lot better than going hourly or per word or whatever. The better approach would be to just to maybe do one or two, and then mm-hmm. create some kind of standardized. To come up with some kind of package, you know, come up with some retainer agreement after you've done a few with them,
right.
So that they know what it's going to cost and they can budget for that.
Right. That was sort of my suggestion to her, is like start with one or two, just to figure out the parameters of what we'd be doing.
Yeah.
So she wants to sort of go back to her team and brainstorm what's the best thing to start with.
Perfect. Perfect. But, you know, I wouldn't say it's too late for this, but the most important thing here is they need to understand, they need to verbalize what the value of getting this right is.
Okay.
You know, so
would you suggest trying to get her back on a call to do that, to have that conversation?
You know, find a natural point to do that in. So let's say she's the ball's in her court right now because she's got to get with her team. When she comes
right.
back to you, then schedule a call to discuss that and to then ask those questions.
Right. And I mean, I think she's also though waiting on me to say, here's what I think it could cost. Even though I've told her that, you know, I think it'll be highly dependent on the project. Like I can't provide quotes out of thin air, but she's sort of looking to me to say, well, it'll be in the range of this to this. But maybe we just really do need to have another call to sort of.
Yeah, I think so, because otherwise you're really kind of, you're cutting out a key part of this process, which is, think of it in terms of three different columns. So if you take a sheet of paper and divide mm-hmm. into three columns, here's what I want you to ask her, or not ask her, but here's what you need to get out of that conversation. Column one is, where are you now with this? Like, in other words, what are you doing? Okay, why is that a problem? You know,
right.
what is that costing you? What challenges is that creating? Column number two is, okay, so that's current state. Let's talk about future state. Where would you like this to be?
Mm-hmm.
And then column three is, what's getting in the way? What's preventing you from achieving that that result.
Okay.
And I think you'll be amazed if you do this in a conversation. Sometimes you can get it done over email if they're the kind of person who's detailed. Like that, a lot of people just with email, they just want to give you one-word answers.
Right.
But that's why I prefer a phone call, because you can ask probing questions. And if you walk them through that process, it's going to be like therapy for them. kind of exaggerating. But they're going to verbalize things that they hadn't verbalized before, and then you're going to have an opportunity to then present your fee in that context.
Okay.
You need the context right now, and you don't have that context. If you give her even a range right now, it's like, how do you measure that, you know, against? You have nothing to measure it against.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I just wasn't sure. Like, after the conversation, I was like, she pretty much told me all she was willing to tell me in that sort of first call, because it was, you know, it was just a random introduction by this client, and we sort of just got together to talk. But then I'm realizing, like, there's so much I still don't know. and she's like wanting me to say, you know, this is what it will cost. And I feel like that's sort of an unrealistic expectation. So I didn't know if that just meant not a good prospect or, you know, salvageable. So what you're...
No, I think right now you don't know.
Right.
You just don't know. And by the way, when you present your fee, make sure you need to present it in that context. You know, here's where you are. Here's where you want to be. Here's what's getting in your way. Here's why working with me is going to solve that.
Right.
And I would also, but in the here's why working with me part, anything you have that adds where you can highlight anything beyond editing and writing ability would be
right.
So for instance, you know, you work with nonprofits, you understand where they're coming from, whatever. I know you haven't done much editing work before, but
yeah.
I think that's a secondary thing. The other stuff is much more valuable.
Right. And, you know, editing is not really the direction I want to go into, but ideas like the client is interesting, and she does know that I sort of have this background. And just during that call, I showed
Perfect.
Some of that, and she loved it. So, you know.
Perfect. Yeah, that's great, because then that takes you away from the, okay, well, here's a quote from one editor. Let me get another one from another editor.
Right.
Like my painting contractor guy, it's like, you know, okay, I got other prices, but this guy, I understand, he knows my house. He knows this neighborhood. And by the way, he took the time to explain the kind of paint he uses and why. He also wanted to know how much longer we're going to be in this house, which is interesting. Because then he was able to say, hey, if we do it this way, you won't have to paint in 3 years when you want to move.
Right.
It's a couple of touch-ups and that's it. And so that's huge for me. You know,
yeah.
Everyone else just gave me a number.
Yeah. So he was like providing specific value and yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Well,
and he differentiated. He gave me context. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll try to continue the conversation with her, and I'll let you know how it goes in the Facebook group or something.
Perfect.
But thank you for talking this through with me.
Absolutely. I'm glad you're able to connect.
Yeah. I'll have to figure out what's going on with my tech issues, but glad it worked.
Cool. All right. All right. So let's see. We got a few other takeaways and action items. Let me wrap up with those. Laura said, we talked about that one. Allison says, top takeaway, focus on what I've done, not just on what's still to do. Liz said, established action items to establish a new normal with my client. Paul said, I got to start using that planner, but it scares me pre-planning like that. You know, Paul, I would say just try it. You know, the cool thing about that is, you know, once you do it, there's not going to be a planning police that was going to find you if you're not sticking to it 100%, right? So you always reserve the right to adjust as needed. But I think starting, something really powerful about starting it and at least trying it, you know. Kelly said, take away, think about an offboarding process when you need to fire a client. Joe says the importance of cash flow in terms of making decisions about client work, also strategies for managing my schedule better. Erica Hess said, stop canceling on myself, treat my training planning blocks like I treat a client block. Ooh, yeah. Kelly said her action item is using what I learned today to tweak my time management a little bit more. And Joe's action item is to continue with my coursework and focus on time management. Erica also added, also define what planning my week does and does not include, feels amorphous sometimes. Okay, totally. Good stuff, guys. Hey, thanks for coming in today. It's a great discussions. Love the diversity of topics. We'll post this replay by tomorrow. So if you want to, if you miss some of it or you want to catch whatever, it's going to be there within 24 hours. So we'll continue the conversation in the Facebook group, and you guys have a great rest of the morning, afternoon, and evening. Talk soon. Take care.